Jesus, I'm going to put in a plug here. You saw, as we began our service, that we really missed Sandy. And she is a wonderful gift of God to this congregation. She is very faithful. So, you know, we appreciate you and love you. And expect you to loan each of us $50. And now, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let's continue the service. Advent is a time of waiting. Waiting not for Christmas. No, we are waiting for the coming of our Lord in glory. We are waiting for the final fulfillment of our salvation. We are waiting for Jesus to come and to make all things new. And all creation is groaning, St. Paul says in Romans, in the pains of childbirth, waiting to participate in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Adam and Eve were created to have dominion over the earth. And when they fell into sin, that dominion was lost. Before the fall, Adam and Eve would not have been stung by a bee. They would not have been bitten by a serpent. They would not have to swatted away mosquitoes. Those awful things, minor though they be, or everyday though they may be, are part of our experience of life because of the fall. All creation groans. All creation is waiting to participate in the glorious freedom of the children of God. If I say, why was Alaska in the news this past week? What would you answer? Earthquake. Yeah, I think it was a 7.0. I haven't heard if there were any fatalities, or I'm sure there were injuries, the property damage was great. Yeah. That goes back to the loss of dominion over the earth. The dominion God had given Adam and Eve, and that they tossed aside just as carelessly, as thoughtlessly, as Esau gave up his birthright. No matter our technological advances, no matter the discoveries that scientists make, no matter the development of new medical therapies and treatments for heart disease or cancer or any other of the ills that plague all of us, we cannot restore that dominion that Adam and Eve lost. You ever been stung by a bee? You don't have dominion over creation. Anyone ever been bitten by a snake? You don't have dominion over creation. Any of you ever found a tick that had latched onto the back of your neck at your hairline? You don't have dominion over creation. Any of you been hospitalized and had a major surgery? You don't have dominion over creation. And you mothers, was your experience of childbirth painless, easy? Mine was. I can't say the same for Sue, but We don't have dominion over creation. The word dominion comes from a Latin word. It comes from a Latin word meaning lordship. The Latin word for Lord is Dominus. Dominus, Lord. When Jesus Christ is referred to as Lord, as in tonight's epistle reading, he's the one that exercises dominion over all creation and over his church for the ultimate good of you, his people, and the rest of his beloved flock, the flock that he bought with the ransom of his holy, precious blood. Now, sometimes it seems Jesus doesn't even have dominion, because why do Christians get cancer? Why do Christians experience misfortune? Why do Christians experience family strife? Why are friendships broken? Why are there quarrels and arguments? Is it because Jesus does not have dominion? I bet you can answer that. Of course, Jesus has dominion. And as the one having dominion with the Father and the Holy Spirit, he causes all things to work to the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Let's change the pronoun. He works all things to the good for you who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And as St. Paul concludes that marvelous 8th chapter of Romans, there is nothing in all creation, even though that creation be fallen, that can ever separate you from God's love for you in Christ Jesus. Luther said something very interesting about the devil. Actually, Luther said quite a bit of interesting things about the devil. Let me try to tone this down a bit. Okay, here's a time for entertainment. Luther was a very colorful man. He was a German. He called a spade a spade. And he said something to the effect that when he was afflicted by the devil, nothing worked as well to mock the devil as for Luther to break wind and say, "Ha, Satan." I don't know how effective that would be. Maybe for some of us it would be more effective than for others. But we have the name of Jesus, which is the one in whom Luther trusted. We have the name of Jesus to flee to as to a strong bulwark, a mighty fortress. We have the name of Jesus that has been placed upon us, Christians, because Christ has bought us with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. You are precious to the Lord. Would you give up your life for an old mangy dog that was lurking in some back alley that was blind and crippled? Annie Lee might. I think she's a great... No, oh well. We wouldn't do that. But think of it this way, that we, who were Christians, created in the image of God and who lost that image. We were that old, mangy, crippled dog. And yet Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, the second person of the Godhead from all eternity, Jesus, who took upon himself our human flesh and blood, along with all the sufferings our fallen flesh is prone to. He died for that mangy, scabby, blind, crippled dog. Even the dogs eat the crumbs of the children beneath the table. Well, this morning Jesus didn't give you just crumbs. He gave you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords condescended to feed us with himself. We didn't deserve it. We don't earn it. We didn't have to climb a ladder to get to Jesus. No. The ladder was when Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit in her womb. This holy child who would be the Savior of the world. I don't know where this is going, and it really doesn't have too much to do with the text. It's been a crazy week, and I did not have the opportunity to study for tonight's sermon one lick. But here's what I want you to know. Paul and his fellow apostles were thankful to God, overflowing with thanksgiving to God for the faith of the church in Thessalonica. Paul and his fellow apostles wanted to build up that church in Thessalonica with the word of Christ and wanted to do that face to face. And Paul concludes with this. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. That's what God does whenever this congregation calls a pastor and the pastor accepts that call. The Lord God is directing that pastor to you. Paul goes on, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we abound in love for you. So that, there's a purpose to this, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, and that holiness is not any holiness you manufacture for yourself, because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah writes. That holiness is a holiness established once for all by Jesus, when he perfectly kept the law for you, and when he died for you, and when he took upon himself the mange of your sin, your leprous condition, and tended to your wounds, clothed you in his righteousness. So, dear people of Mount Olive, may the Lord God establish your hearts, each and every one of you, blameless in the holiness of Christ before our God and Father. When? At the coming of our Lord Jesus, Dominus, with all his saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.